complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I'd ask your prayerful attention to an expression we find in the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 2, and the inner part of verse 15. The prophecy of Hosea, chapter 2, and the inner part of verse 15. The valley of Achor, for a door of hope. The valley of Achor, for a door of hope. The verse begins, and I will give her a vineyard from thence, and the valley of Achor, for a door of hope. The account we read this morning in the book of Joshua of that man Achan is a terrible account. Achan sinned, and under the judgment of God, he was dreadfully executed for that sin. And thus it is under the law of God. And that law, dear friends, does not change. What is written in the Word of God abides forever. And we read of it. We read those solemn words in the book, the prophecy of Ezekiel. Chapter 18 and, well, first verse 20. The son, that lives righteously and delivered from wickedness, when the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. The law of God is most solemn, isn't it? And we read in the Word of God that God does not change. Transgression of the Word of God, of the commands of God, of a holy God, the holiness of God, who cannot accept any taint of sin, dear friends, is solemnly judged. Our God is a consuming fire. And under the law, there is no mercy. There is no deliverance. Now, this was solemnly declared here in the account, what we read this morning. And dear friends, how it does us well to take heed to these solemn portions of the Word of God. God does not change in his holiness. And we do not change from in our hearts from those who lived in Joshua's day. We are all sinners in God's sight. Dear friends, does this make you tremble? Oh, how solemn to live in ignorance. Ignorance of our sinfulness before a holy God. Oh, I do pray that each of us may come to fear God and his judgment because of what we are in our earthly nature. Yes, we may do many things that are right, many things that are acceptable in accordance with the word of God. But oh, those multitude of sins. Sin which is a transgression of the word of the law of God. Disobedience to his command. Now Achan was one of the children of Israel. And dear friends, being that in his flesh, did not deliver him from the wrath of God for his sin. No matter who we are, no matter what we are in our flesh, our ancestors, or where we are, where we're living, or it's our soul, isn't it, before a holy God. Whether we are sinful in his sight or we are righteous in his sight. And as the scripture tells us, we've all sinned, born in sin, and come short of the glory of God. None of our righteousnesses can blot out one of our sins. Therefore, we are subject to the wrath of God in the day of judgment. Dear friends, such truths should make us tremble in our hearts at the word of God. What was Achan's sin to deserve such a solemn punishment that was exacted upon him? His sin, dear friends, was simply covetousness. Are we exempt from it? No. Those Ten Commandments which God gave to Moses, which were written with the finger of God and they were put in the Ark of God, contain that a commandment, thou shalt not covet. Desiring things that are not ours, things which belong to others. But we want them for ourselves, for our own good in one sense, or to satisfy our pride and our self-will and the lusts of our flesh. Thou shalt not covet. Achan did. And he deliberately took of that which he was forbidden. Oh, God had spoken clearly, hadn't he? In the previous chapter we read, the city shall be accursed. And ye in any wise shall keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels and brass and iron, which was to come from the fall of Jericho, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. The Lord had commanded that all the riches of Jericho would be stored for that which would be used in the time to come for the worship of God, such as the building of that place, which would be for the honour and glory of his name in their worship, in the place in the promised land which he would choose. Achan took of that which was the Lord's, breaking his command. Dear friends, not only did this bring the sentence, the solemn sentence of death upon Agar. But it affected all the people. Oh, there's a lesson to be learned here, isn't there? A lesson to us that our sins and the displeasure and wrath of God for our sin can affect others. Perhaps we can consider our families. Our sin, we may hide it like Achan sought to hide it, that nobody knew about it, Joshua didn't know about it, and others. We hide our sins that nobody knows. Perhaps we've stolen, perhaps we've done something which is against the commands of God. And the Lord's wrath for it can affect our loved ones. We think of the church. Dear friends, how solemn. Our sins and the wrath of God for sin, when we have not repented of it and confessed it, but regard iniquity in our hearts, can affect the prosperity of the church, of the church as a whole. Dear friends, these things, they're taught here, aren't they, in the Holy Scriptures, that we should be mindful of, and cause us to fear. Fear what we are in of our own natural self, sinners, before a holy God. Now the effect upon this sin was that Israel could not prosper. Sin was amongst them. And therefore, after the conquering of Jericho, going on further to the nearest city from Jericho, which was Ai, the children of Israel were overcome by the relatively few that lived in Ai. Now there were two reasons for the failure at Ai, and there's teaching for us here, isn't there? Joshua was ignorant of that sin. He did not go in the knowledge that they had sin amongst them. But they went to Ai in presumption. Or they'd come from the promise, from the wilderness, over the River Jordan, and that miraculous holding back of the waters of Jordan, whilst all the people crossed over. And they encamped in Gilgal and sent the spies to Jericho and sought out how great a city it was, how strong it was. And the Lord told Joshua how they should conquer it by going around the city once every day and blowing the trumpets and the ark of God to follow, and then on the seventh day to go around it seven times and then to blow the trumpets and then all the people to shout. And the walls of Jericho fell down. And Israel went up straight away and conquered it and destroyed it. Except for Rahab, who had honoured the spies and kept them from being kidnapped and killed. Dear friends, the Lord was with Joshua and all the people. And they presumed, oh, that now all would easy be. Dear friends, what a temptation that is to think, isn't it, to presume. When the Lord has been favourable to us, perhaps in one way or another, we presume that the next step will also be easy. Now, Joshua was one who believed in God, he knew God. We have a hymn wrote, a hymn, dear friends, I don't know how true really it is. If we believe in God, then all will easy be. We don't find that in the scriptural accounts. We can so easily be still left, although we believe in God, to our own thoughts and act in a prayerless way. They did not commit their way unto the Lord. They went, Joshua sent a few to spy out Ai. And they said, they are not very many. Don't let everyone go up. About 2,000 to 3,000 soldiers, men, go up to conquer Ai. And so that's all they sent, was 3,000 men in their own strength, in their own presumption. And the Lord was not with them. And they lost that fight, didn't they? They lost 36 of their own soldiers. And oh, poor Joshua. What a trial it was of his faith. You know, dear friends, when we have things suddenly go wrong, when we expect things to work going smoothly, we can almost be like Joshua, can't we? Almost like to be panic stationed. Oh, Joshua came to say, oh, why have you brought us over Jordan to destroy us? When we could have stayed over the other side of Jordan, where Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had their land. Oh, it would have been much easier for us to stay there. Dear friends, where was Joshua's faith? Where the Lord had spoken to him. And the Lord, I will go before thee, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Dear friends, that was the word given unto Joshua. You know, oh, how merciful it is when we have the sweet favour of the Lord and a word of blessing, a word of promise. And then when things go wrong according to our own thoughts, minds, and how it should be, oh, we even doubt that word to us. It's sin, isn't it? So there was two accounts of sin when they went to Ai. One, there was sin amongst them because of Achan. And their way, they went themselves. Not in the fear of the Lord, not in dependence upon God, not in a prayerful spirit, but in assumption in their own strength and their own reasoning mind. Dear friends, the Lord was very, very solemn to Joshua. Get up. Why lie you on your face? Israel hath sinned. They've transgressed my covenant which I've commanded them. And this accursed thing which Achan had done, dear friends, had got to be put away. He had deliberately sinned. Oh, how solemn. He had deliberately sinned. The sin of Joshua and those others wasn't a deliberate sin in the same way, was it? No, it was their faults and their failings through the reasoning of their own mind and natural self. Yes, they'd fallen, their weakness of the flesh, but with Achan, there was deliberation on what he should do in the breaking of the law. Oh, how we have to be prayer, we have prayed, don't we, to be kept from deliberate sin. The sin had to be put away. And that sin under the law could be only put away by the fulfilling of the law. That the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Lord revealed to Joshua who the sinner was. Nothing is hid from the Lord. Judah was taken, the various families were taken, the household was taken of Zabdi and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, was identified as the one who had sinned greatly. And they proved that he had sinned in the way and he was to die. And so they stoned him with stones. Not just himself, but all his family and all that he had. Stoned with stones. And then those dead bodies, they were then burned with fire. And that the remembrance of them was removed forevermore. Oh yes, a heap of stones was raised over them. And that place, the valley then, was called the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, unto this day, troubled on account of sin. Dear friends, is this your great trouble? If someone came to you this morning and says, what is your greatest trouble? What would you say? Would it be the fear of something which is going to take place, or the fear that something you want isn't going to take place? Things aren't happening exactly as you wish in this earthly life. It may be your sickness or your sorrows for one thing and another, your disappointments. How many of us would say, my greatest trouble is the sinfulness of my soul, my sinful heart, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked? Oh, what is sin to us? Does it make us tremble at the wrath of God? We're prone to covetousness, aren't we? How many of us do not covet? Or have not coveted in our lives? Our life upon this earth is spent very much day by day with things we want, things we need. And yes, we are to pray to the Lord to supply our needs. But at times our hearts go for those things which are forbidden of God. We break the commandments. Oh, you look at those 10 commandments and see which ones we have not broken in some way or another. And quite often it's because of our self-will. We want to go a particular way. We want to be satisfied. We want to covet various things, circumstances, possessions, and causes us, oh, to greatly fall. You children, it's so easy, isn't it, to be tempted to sin, even to steal, tell lies, not to honour your father and mother. And so we may go on, and how we our conversations. We are great sinners, and no matter what the sin is, it deserves the same judgment of God, the punishment of our sins. And how dreadful is that punishment in the day of judgment on account of our sins? Achan was stoned. What will be our stoning in the day of judgment? It'll be that sentence, depart from me, ye cursed. And having been commanded to depart, then there is that fire, that lake of fire, the scripture tells us. Now Achan died in the flesh. He would know no more a sense of anything of this earthly life. But dear friends, in the judgment of God, in that day of judgment, when all shall be judged before him, those who have already died and for whatever reason, and those who are already living when Christ shall come again. Dear friends, that lake of fire will never extinguish and completely annihilate the soul of those that are cursed. But there will ever be in that lake of fire, in bitterness and anguish. And oh, how can we imagine what it must be like forever and ever and ever? The holiness of God, we cannot contemplate it in the day of judgment, and neither can we the day of punishment. Then, dear friends, this is a very solemn scripture, isn't it? A very solemn account, a very solemn word. And yet we have two other words which come again and again. But God. But God. And I trust that's why we're here this morning. But God. gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Complete deliverance from the wrath of God which we deserve. But God gave his only begotten Son. Then, friends, we have many needs in our lives, don't we, whilst we're upon this earth. But this knowledge of Christ is the one thing needful. Oh, we have this expression of the valley of Achor. That terrible place, the valley of trouble, become account of sin. I will give her the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Who is her? It's the sinner. In the context of how Hosea begins his prophecy. The great sinner. I will give her the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Now, dear friends, this word hope is not something which is doubtful. As we might often use it in the English language. Oh, I hope so. This word hope in the Greek means expectation. Something you have not yet experienced. But you are convinced it will take place. Now that's the effect of believing faith in Christ, isn't it? And actually the word hope, the Greek word, is based on a word which means a cord. In other words, a rope. Something to which you are attached by. I was trying to think of that. I suppose the nearest analogy in that sense, we could say that, oh, if someone had fallen over a cliff, and right at the bottom there was no way of climbing back up. It was too steep, it was too sheer. And the threat of drowning was coming in from the sea. The waves were rushing in. What could they do? They could do nothing. But if someone from the top of that cliff let down a rope that you could cling on to, that would be your hope. That would be your attachment to deliverance from dying at the incoming tide. It would be your expectation, your only expectation, the way you could get again restored to the top from where you'd fallen. The hope. And that hope is through Christ. The door of hope. Through Christ we come to that hope which is the mercy of God. That's our only hope. The mercy of God through the gift of his Son. And to believe in him. Believe in him by faith. The assurance of faith. Oh, the scripture speaks in Hebrews of the assurance of hope. The assurance of hope. Through what Christ hath done. The expectation. Oh, dear friends, what do we know of this? Is Christ truly our hope of deliverance from the wrath to come? Our hope of salvation. Our hope of salvation. Have you cried, dear friends, out of those depths? You cannot surmount, can you, the greatness of your sin, even the smallest of sin. You cannot put it away and no one else can help you. There's only one who can. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, to look unto Jesus, to become the author and finisher of our faith. The door of hope. Jesus says, well, it's in John's Gospel, isn't it? I am the door. Oh, that's a lovely chapter, that chapter of John in chapter 10. It refers to Christ declare him in himself as the door of the sheep. By the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. His sheep enter into the fold of the salvation of God by the door, which is Christ, who hath given himself a life, his life for the sheep. I am the door. Dear friends, there is no other way, is there? Oh, this, a solemn sacrifice for sin. Oh, may it be for our sin, my sin and your sin. To look unto Jesus by faith, to pour out our heart there before him in true confession and repentance of sin. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the cry, wasn't it, of the publican? I often repeat it. For he alone, the shepherd of the sheep, can perform that which is needful to pay the price for sin demanded by the law. The scripture says, doesn't it? The law could make nothing perfect. For only that which is acceptable to God in the day of judgment is that which is perfect. And the law could make nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did. The bringing in of a better hope. Oh, to be, as it were, attached to this truth as it is in Jesus. Christ in us. That's where we need it to be, doesn't it? One with Jesus, eternally one, through his sufferings, his death, that shed blood, that love, that redeeming love, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Dear friends, how can we live without the knowledge of it? Oh, we face a solemn eternity. We know not when it will come. The scripture says in the last days terrible, perilous times shall come. And the last days are between the ascension of Jesus and his coming again. And that's been of the order of 2,000 years. How much longer will the Lord be long-suffering to this sin-cursed earth than the sins of the people? We know not. He will come suddenly. As a thief in the night. Well, we're exhorted, aren't we, to watch and to pray. Who are those who watch and pray? Those, dear friends, who've got a hope that when that time does come, oh, they will be carried from time to a blessed eternity to be forever with their God, ever with their Lord, ever with their shepherd, ever with Christ. We have some solemn parables of Jesus. The one parable that comes to my mind now is those of the 10 virgins, of which Jesus said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They, in their outward appearance to others, looked all the same. That which was different was hidden in that lamp. You might say hidden in their heart. They had the propensity for light in the day of coming, which is interpreted as the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, dear friends, we say, don't we? If it wasn't for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us would be saved. We have to be possessors of this grace. That when the Lord does come, at the marriage time, which is the time of the day of the coming of Christ again. The marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven has been prepared. And he comes, and those who were ready, those who had oil in their lamps, those who could have that light, give the light, yes, which is of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, they could enter into that kingdom. They were ready, they were prepared. The other five, they had no oil, they had no grace. They perhaps lived under the law as best and perfectly as they could. But they were not ready for that day of judgment. Jesus says in the parable, oh, go and buy. Wherever they had to go to do that. And then they came again. And the door was shut. The door was shut. It was too late. The time of judgment had come. They were not ready. The door, Christ, it was closed. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed. Oh, how solemn a sentence that is. And friends, what will be our sentence in that day? Well, dear friends, I trust you know what it is to come to Christ the door. Through Christ the door, we come to a throne of grace. There, the Saviour's blood to plead. There's no other way we can find grace and mercy other than through Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says concerning Christ, our great high priest, who was in all points tempted as we are. And he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, we're exhorted, aren't we, to come, pour out our hearts before him. Tell him all the truth. We are sinners. Pleading the name of Jesus. God, oh, have mercy upon me. And that throne of grace is where we obtain mercy. The grace, the riches of his grace, the forgiveness of our sins. And that grace to help us in the time of our need. Help us to remember our dependence upon Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Grace ever to be within us. Oh, nothing more valuable than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. And when we're tempted, like Achan was tempted, and when others were tempted to sin, David was tempted to sin. Oh, David found mercy because he obtained grace, the sure mercies of God. He knew what it was to cry unto the Lord for mercy, and he found forgiveness. He was not under the law, but under grace. Well, dear friends, that's what we need, isn't it? This teaching of the value of the shed blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. That this valley of trouble, the valley of trouble for our sins, the valley of Achor, a door of hope. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, that was the Apostle Paul's confession. And dear friends, if that's your confession, you're the sinner's chief, then there's hope for you. In that time of trouble, when that judgment day comes. Come, thou blessed of the Father, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well, dear friends, these are solemn things, but they're the truth. I felt so strongly upon me to lay them before you, as I hope I have done before. Dear friends, you cannot go away and in that day of judgment say, well, I never knew it. Nobody ever told me. Oh, the scripture tells us, doesn't it? then may we plead with the Lord for pardon. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Make to me salvation known and witness with the blood, that you may have this door of expectation, this door of hope, this to what you're attached to, through the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus in his death on Calvary's cross, and to hold fast to it all your days till your deliverance comes and you enter into the joy of your Lord. I will give her, the sinner, a valley. I will give the valley of Achor for the door of hope, and she shall sing there. Oh, what a place that will be. Amen.